Eli Fortner sat on the front porch, quietly cursing the directions that accompanied the two firewood racks. "Screw this," she growled to Cruz, who cocked her head as she smiled. Eli balled the paper in a wad. "That stuff is only good for the compost bin. I don't know why in God's name they have to make something so simple as using 6 bolts so confusing." "Do I hear cursing coming from out here, Aunt Eli?" Mitch asked. He sat down on the step beside the aunt he adored and casually tossed a tennis ball for Cruz to chase. Eli smiled at her 17-year-old nephew. "I don't know why I bother reading the directions to these damn things. It's 6 bolts, for goodness sake. You want me to finish putting them together for you?" "No, I got this. I just needed to fuss about the confusing directions. How's your schoolwork coming?" Mitch ran his hand through his thick mop of dark hair. "Not bad. I've got maybe another 30 minutes to finish for the day. Your job is going to be helping me fill these things up when I finally get them together." "Not today," he grinned. "Whit and I are starting on the solar panels today. Evan's coming out after lunch to help. Where is the cute little love muffin anyway?" he teased. "You better not let her catch you calling her that, or she'll skin your hide," Eli warned. "She worked in the lab last night, so she's sleeping in over at her place. I'm sure she'll be along soon if y'all have plans today." Eli grinned at the nickname Mitch had given Whit. It fit her so well, and Eli knew that Mitch thought the world of Whit. It was also an unspoken gesture from Mitch that he approved of their relationship. He would have never dreamed of giving Sarah, her ex, a nickname. "I can't wait to get started," he said, and rubbed his hands together. Cruz had returned with the ball, and he tossed it again. "Go finish your schoolwork, and you can make us some sandwiches for lunch. By the time you finish, it should be okay to call and wake the cute little love muffin." Eli grinned. "I'm going to finish here and load the chainsaw and the gator, and after lunch, I'll start cutting the downed trees into sections. Don't even worry about stacking them. I'll load the logs onto the gator and bring them down when we finish for the day. I'll get Evan to help, and we can catch up to you quickly." "Done," she said, and sat the smaller of the two racks on the ground. "This one we'll use for the smaller logs in the fire pit. I should be able to cut a bunch of the small stuff to fit, so we won't have to do any splitting. The fireplace is a whole other story." "Let me carry that out for you, and I'll get back to work," Mitch said, and placed the small rack close to the fire pit. "Thanks, Mitch," she said, when he walked back onto the porch. "No problem. Turkey sandwich is good for you?" "Perfect," Eli answered. He nodded and disappeared into the cabin. Eli pulled out the contents of the second box and opened the package with the hardware. "No need for these," she said, and tossed them back in the box. Eli used the ratchet and quickly had the second rack assembled and placed on the southern end of the front porch. "All set," she said, as she picked up the cardboard boxes and carried them to the compost pile. Eli tore them into smaller strips and tossed them inside. She returned the tools and loaded the chainsaw and supplies into the rear of the gator. Eli had parked the gator by the front steps and was walking toward the cabin when she heard the sound of helicopter rotors. "What the hell?" she said as the sound grew louder. A large black helicopter flew over the cabin and hovered over her open field for several seconds before touching the ground. The side door flew open and 2 soldiers approached the cabin. Mitch stood in the doorway of the cabin, his mouth hung open as he saw the 2 soldiers approaching. "What the hell?" he said, repeating Eli's question. "I don't have a clue, Mitch, but it looks like we're about to find out." Cruz began stalking toward the approaching men, her hackles standing along her spine. Eli saw one of the men reach for his sidearm. "Easy, Cruz, come," she shouted over the dying noise of the rotors. Mitch walked down the steps and stood beside her. "You can stop right there and take your hand off your weapon," Eli growled. The soldiers stopped a few feet away from them and stood at attention. The man that had reached for his weapon was red-faced. "I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but we have orders to collect Dr. Brewer this morning."
"Collector for whom?"
Eli asked.
"That's classified information, ma'am, but her presence in Washington is necessary," he answered. "Her country needs her."
"You realize she does not live here, correct?" Eli answered.
"Her home is next door."
Eli pointed across the stream.
"Yes, ma'am. We apologize for the inconvenience, but we've used this landing spot before. We had no knowledge anyone was living here,